Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening to my listening audience, to all of my newcomers, Havaragane, what's up? And to my old listeners, what's happening? Thank you for joining me this evening. You've got your Omega 7 in the house, live, coming to you straight from my living room. I am the Empress, whatever you like. I am here to serve you. I am your advisor, the one you need. I am also your advocate, the one you want. I'd like to thank you for joining me on our new segment. Ladies and gentlemen, but before we go on to our new segment, I'm going to have to rehash a few things to sum up and bring closure to our last part of the segment where we talked about changing our modalities to become a full-blown initiate. And as you know, Omi was off a few days. I was off the last 2 days. I want to bring some closure to what we were doing. And I also want to talk about the last 2 or 3 days that we missed of Kwanzaa. Yes, Omi was out of town, had some business to tend to, could not bring my laptop with me on this particular business outing. So I was not able to access you. And boy, did I miss you guys. I missed every one of you. And, you know, I was preparing the segment for this new topic, so I was still thinking about you. Just want to rehash those other days that we missed on Kwanzaa. We missed you, Gemma. And that is for collective work and responsibility, the ability to build for ourselves and maintain. And that was for December 28th. We missed December 29th, which was Ujamaa. And that's cooperative economics, to build and to maintain our own products in our own neighborhood. And I would like to remind you, if you didn't do anything else, I hope you burned a candle for those 2 days. I am going to light these two candles to represent those 2 days that we weren't here, since I love Kwanzaa so much, Ujamaa and Ujamaa. I light these two candles for Kwanzaa as we bring closure to our last perspective topic. And as you know, we were talking about Tahuti. Our last time together, we talked about the warrior, the general, the battler, the one who brought people together and showed them how to prepare for war. And boy, did we have a good evening on that 27th, where we talked to the young people about learning their craft of becoming a lawyer. Yes, Omi put herself out there and told those young people, if you need help finding funding to go back to school to get your law degree, and I don't mean a criminal justice degree, but I mean a law degree, go all the way. You can do it. Tahuti is behind you. Omi is behind you, because there's too many young people who are deceived by the laws of this land. And ignorance is no excuse for the laws of this land. I know you might have had street law in your social studies class, but you got to go further than that, young people. You got to have an interest in law, because the more you know about law, the more you can protect yourself, and you can adjudicate and do pro se to represent yourself. That's right. You have a legal right to use pro se. Everyone does. You can go and get all of the documents you need. You can go to the courthouse and ask them for the paperwork, and you can buy books to learn how to complete the forms. That's it. You have to understand you have a right to do a motion. You have a right to answer an interrogatory and write one. And you also have a right to go in the courtroom representing yourself. Be very careful when someone tells you to take a plea bargain. Be very careful, because you never know what you're agreeing to, and it might affect you for the rest of your life. And that's why I want to talk to those young people. I love young people. As a youth minister, that is who I normally targeted, to work with the women and the youth ministry, because you guys are so awesome. You're always ready to be a soldier, and you're great foot soldiers. But now I want you to fight for yourself. I want you to lay down your arm and your weapons and start picking up the pen and the paper and fight for yourself. I see too many of my young black brothers and sisters locked away on account of ignorance. Yes, some of those people are innocent. That's right. Some of them are innocent. But because of ignorance, they got themselves into situations. You don't have to, ladies and gentlemen. And please look at yourself in the mirror like I indicated earlier. You're not the real enemy. The enemy that's within that you think is the enemy that you're turning the gun on is not the real enemy. And the reason why I told you not to look for flesh and blood, you're going to be fighting a principality. You're going to have to gird yourself up with consciousness and your third eye. You're going to have to awaken yourself and jog yourself to awaken that medulla oblongata so your third eye is open, so you can see clairvoyantly into the lives of others and to forecast your own future. I've given you the tools to work with. So when you go into the courtroom, don't go in there unprepared. God has given you ammunition and tools to work with. Use those tools. I've talked to you about the juju bag for protection. Every one of us need protection. Don't go anywhere without your protection. Find out what protection you need to put on your head to cover you. Every time you go out that door, you're a suspect. Every time you get behind that wheel, you're a victim. It's a shame that we've carried over the laws from slavery into today's time. It's a shame that nobody has asked the judicial system to re-examine the laws of the natural laws and the black code slavery laws that existed eons ago. It's a shame that no one's challenged the system. It is a shame. It's a shame that nobody's asked, where is our reparation? And didn't Lincoln put it on the table? And didn't Lincoln free the slaves? And didn't Lincoln say, here is your reparation? Or was somebody lying? Did they negotiate something called reparation and they decided to take it off the table? And some of our brothers and sisters acquired land that we knew nothing about? And where in the United States did they target those areas and land that they wanted to give us? Ladies and gentlemen, buckle your seatbelt. We're getting ready to go back to when Lincoln discussed with all of the men who owned property, land, and slaves a negotiation for them to release their slaves, and Lincoln gave them in return a reparation in order to release the slaves, because if they had lost the slaves, they would have lost money. And we're going to talk about how Lincoln gave them money to satisfy them, and that rich man that owned slaves and had land were the first to get reparation. Now, it went down the line to many individuals like the Jews, the Native Americans, the Japanese, the Chinese, and all of the people receiving, not set aside, not welfare, but reparation. My question is, are we going to always be ignorant and say, well, we don't need reparation? We can work to the sweat of our brows, and we don't need set-asides. We do need reparation. And if we don't get it in this day and time, we'll always be the underclass, and we'll never be able to sustain ourselves economically if we don't start asking for it now. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Reparation is on the subject for Sherelle and Omiyinka. This topic, we will be discussing reparation. We'll be talking about a special book that Dr. Anderson wrote, and we hope to be able to get a hold of Dr. Anderson to invite him on our show. I've talked to his counterparts about possibly assisting and aiding them. They are working feverishly to address the issue of reparation. I know some of you don't want to hear about it, and some of you are going to even have gnashing of teeth and say, now, why did Omi want to go bring that up? When we thought we was first doing something, we on our own now, we're free. No, you're not. You're not free yet. You're not free if you don't have a sovereign nation. And when we went in to ask for sovereignty, we should have did like the Native Americans did and say we're down, broke, and poor, and without, and we need to have a sovereign nation to legitimize ourselves. That's right. We need to sit down and talk about it, ladies and gentlemen, because rightfully we helped build this country. And as citizens of the United States, we are entitled to our reparation. Those who have become refugees and migrated here, if some of those people could acquire reparation through the war of World War II, and if some of their countries were violated and they acquired reparation, guess what? Our country has been raped in Africa and violated. And we still are refugees here in our own land. We're going to talk about it in a minute, ladies and gentlemen. I know you're up for reparation. If you're not, you better get up, because it's now time for those people that say that they are here to make a change in the community to get ready to look at the United States of America, because we will no longer be looking at the United States standing alone. It is now time that the United States is going to align themselves with our country, Africa. Then if that is the case, let's start, ladies and gentlemen, thinking about how we can get restitution and get our reparation. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. It's on the topic today. It's on the topic today. Let's talk about creativity.
Creation divine, so project divine.
Faculties be intact, our memories be intact, and our physical bodies be intact. Aren't we blessed? Ladies and gentlemen, and we are going to make sure that this week I stay over until Saturday to make sure I bring in the new year right. That's right, because only was off those 2 days, I decided to be with you for this Saturday as well. Friday and Saturday. So we don't have to kick it up so much on Friday because I won't be seeing you on Saturday. I will be seeing you on Saturday this time, and we're going to more than kick it up for New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. That's right. We're going to bring it on, ladies and gentlemen. And as you know, it is the power of faith that gives us the ability to be here. And sometimes things do come up in our lives, and sometimes we cannot be present. But we're here in the spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, why don't you stand to your feet to get ready for the talking cure? We're going to proceed as usual, calling on our ancestors, because we are an African-centered organization, and we are underwritten by Project 2019. And I am going to proceed with the process of cleansing myself and getting ready for the ritual. So please stand to your feet, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to get permission from my elder to speak. Hold on. Elder, do I have permission to speak?
Yes, you have permission to speak.
Thank you very much, Elder. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're not already standing to your feet, I'd like for you to stand to your feet because we're getting ready to go right into the libation. Okay, I'm going to ask Baba, is the libation ready? Is the purification ready?
Purification is ready.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I pour libations to the west. I pour libations to the south. I pour libations to the east. And I pour libations to the north. We pour libations to the ground, ladies and gentlemen. And we ask that where the water hits, may it take root and spring up. And the hearts of man and woman. Is the libation complete, Baba?
The libation is complete.
Thank you very much. Libation is complete, ladies and gentlemen. If you don't mind, take out those names and lists of your loved ones so we can call on our ancestors. I light the candle for my mother's side of the people. Thank you, Baba. I light the candle for my mother's side of the people. I light the candle for my father's side of the people. And I pour a glass of water on my father's side. And I pour a glass of water for my mother's side. I like to call on my ancestors. I call on the name of Clara Mae Jenkins, and I say, Ashe. I call on the name of Robert Jenkins, Ashe. I call on the name of Tommy Pete Harvey, and I say, Ashe. I call on the name of Eugene Jenkins, and I say, Ashe. I call on the name of Eugene Lilly, and I say, Ashe. I call on the name of George Lilly, Ashe. I call on the name of Sam Lilly, and I say, Ashe. I call on Mary Lou Hawkins, Ashe. Lucille Day, Ashe. Louise Lord, Ashe. I call on the name of Emmanuel Day, Ashe. I call on the name of Elijah Day, Ashe. I call on the name of Isa Lily, Ashe. Bessie Lily, Ashe. Nishal Lily, Ashe. Ruby Lee Bracken, Ashe. Clifford Bracken, Ashe. I call on the name of Tom Harvey, Ashe. I call on Michelle Harvey, Ashe. And Michael Harvey, Ashe. I say, so be it, so let it be done. Ladies and gentlemen, as you stand to your feet, make sure you call on your heroes and sheroes. And don't forget that it is your ancestors whose back you stand on. We're going to call on our heroes and sheroes. Nat Turner, please come forward. You can come down from that tree now. And I say to you, Harriet Tubman, pick up your shotgun and your handgun and go out front. And we call on Nina Simone to sing that Mississippi Goddamn song. And that song has not been sung for many years since you've been banned from singing it. We ask you to lead the people and go out front, because we know that it is difficult times ahead for all of us African Americans. And we know that if we don't get our reparations soon, that our young people have already turned in on themselves, looking for a solution. But we ask them to give us just a little more time, a little more time, before they turn in on themselves and wipe their whole nation out. We ask our young people to please come and sit with us and learn about consciousness so that they will get the real ammunition that they need to fight this war, and that they will lay down their physical guns, and that they will lay down their weapons, because we fight not with weaponry, but we use the tools of spiritual warfare that have been left behind by our ancestors. And we need not fight and vindicate ourselves, that we have ancestors to vindicate us. We only need to tap in to the power to wake those ancestors and call them back home to do the bidding of war for us. We need not do anything but wash our hands of war, because we are not going to study war no more. We're just going to call on our ancestors today and tell them who's bothering us, and ask them to have mercy upon the people that they are about to embark upon. God said he would vindicate us. He lives inside of us. Let's tell God about who's bothering us and watch God work. Watch our ancestors work. You need not get locked away in prison for picking up warfare and ammunition and guns. That's exactly what the world wants you to do, to fight your own battles and get locked away. But go into your closet, go into your quiet places, lock yourself away, and do the business of fighting in the spiritual warfare, and fight in the spirit. Do your fighting in the spirit, so when you come out front, you wash your hands of war. Let it be done in the spirit realm. Whatever is done in the spirit realm will be done in the natural anyway. I've trained you well. Use your weaponry. Don't be a fool. Don't go out picking up a gun, drawing ammunition against your enemy. Don't go and smite your brother. Keep your hands clean. You are empowered with knowledge now. You don't need a weapon. Your weapon is your tongue, your prayer life. Your knees should have calluses on them for staying on your knees so long. Let this be your weaponry. Meditation is your weaponry. Incantation is your weaponry. Chanting is your weaponry. And meditation is your weaponry. Now, these are your tools. I've given them to you for over 29 days. Pick up your weaponry. Go into your closet. Go into your hiding place and meditate and use your weaponry. This is how Omi is trained you to fight. And I am an officer and a gentleman. So when you stand on the line and get ready for throwdown time, use your words. Call things that be not as though they were. Be the commander. Give the order. Call out the order. And whatever you ask for, the ancestors will make it come to pass. Whatever you tell God you want done, God will help collaborate with you on one accord to bring it to pass. War has begun, ladies and gentlemen. I wonder if you've gone in your closet and done battle yet. The war has begun, ladies and gentlemen. The war has begun. And the war is against principalities and high places that exalt themselves against this nation. Will the United States collaborate and take on Africa? And will we still be without a country? Or should we stand up and cry loud and ask?
clear what a rejoicing and glad in it. We have a black president now. What good is a black president unless he points out the inadequacies of the system against African Americans? Don't tell me he's for all the people. He is for what's right, and if the black people have been wrong, he must stand up against injustice. He cannot always be whitewashed and say, I'm for all the people, if all of the people are taken care of, and the blacks are still without reparations, then he is not for the blacks. Then he must speak out against what injustice has been done to the African Americans. And if he is the selected president, he must do everything in his power to obtain reparations for this African American people. Otherwise, he has come for the wrong cause. Ladies and gentlemen, don't be afraid to ask for what's yours. Don't shrink down. And don't fight your brothers and sisters because you're not strong enough to stand up and ask for what is yours. Usually a good soldier never has to ask for what's his. He takes what belongs to him. And if we are bold enough in our spirit, we need only go to our ancestors and tell them to take back our land, take back our venue, give us back our 30 acres and a mule, give us back our gold and diamonds, and give Africa back to us so that we can explore for ourselves. Yes, we said it was slow down time. You have ammunition now. You have checking ability and meditation ability. Now go to work, go to work, go to work, go to work. Work it out, little children. Work it out. Don't tell me about you get no pistol, no machete, no weapons. Tell me about the words that you're going to gird up in your loins and go to work in the spirit. And remember, you need protection. I don't care what ignorant black says that they don't need protection. You're going to need protection. And some of your own are going to turn against you for asking for reparations. But it's yours, and it belongs to you. And there's nothing wrong with talking about the economic status and why we have fallen lower than a refugee, but how we're going to pick ourselves up. And we're going to dignify ourselves again with the funding, the land, and everything that belongs to us. Because now we are dealing with the spirit realm. And what we do in the spirit realm will manifest itself in the natural. We don't have to ask anybody for reparations. We're going to go to the spirit, and the spirit will apprehend whatever we do. Ladies and gentlemen, I wonder, will you stand strong today, or will you shrink back? We're lining up two by two to go into the sanctuary. The people are now going into the sanctuary. Our ancestors are there waiting for us patiently. Thank you so very much for lining up. Children in the rear, elder in the front. Please go in and take your seat. We are now about ready to close the doors of the sanctuary to go in to have our discussion on restoration. There is no question to be or not to be. Or should we have reparations? We already know we deserve reparations. We have been slowful and waiting to ask for it. Some of our own people have stood in the way of preventing it from happening. But on this show, we are going to perpetuate the word of reparations in our spirit and in our loins. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back, and let's get ready for a new year. You've got your Omeka 7 in the house, and I'm live coming to you straight from my living room. But I want to call on the power of faith before I do anything else out here, because I know I can't do anything in my own strength. So
So here's the power of faith. Let's go to station identification.
Every day, from the moment I
Glory.
Yes, our faith is strong, ladies and gentlemen, and it's going to get stronger and stronger and stronger. Welcome back. I want you to lock that dial in, ladies and gentlemen, at 646-478-0270. You have the Care to Read show here. We're underwritten by Project 2019, and the views and expression doesn't necessarily express that of Project 2019. Or Blog Talk. The views you're going to hear today are expressed by Omi Inc. and the Tribe. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to be talking about reparation. Let me take you back to history class first so that we can set the course and the perimeters for this topic. There's so many people that are against reparation being extended to African Americans, even some African Americans who haven't woken up yet. Once they're awakened, they will realize what's really theirs, and they will come along on our side as well. However, we've got to do a good enough job to set the perimeters right so that everyone can see why it's fair and in order for the African Americans to receive their reparation, even at this late date, ladies and gentlemen, in the game, even at this late date. There's some that frown upon African Americans receiving their share and piece of the pie. Let me go back to history class. Now, I am an old history buff. I like to take you back to when Abraham Lincoln was sitting there talking to his legislatures about the benefit of freeing the slaves. However, Abraham Lincoln was not for freeing the slaves, according to Dr. Anderson. And Dr. Anderson has written Powernomics, and we are going to be featuring his book starting next week. And we're also going to be calling Dr. Anderson to talk to him about the subject. He was the one that has been going out front, leading the way to open up some doors for a discussion and for the table and the forum to be set to even extend us our 40 acres and a mule. Now, going back to Abraham Lincoln was neither for letting us go or for freeing us. He didn't have any passion in his heart to free us. But nevertheless, most people say that the World War II was fought, the war was fought for us, and it was fought for us to be free, and the Confederate War was fought for us to have our freedom. They neither fought for us to have our freedom because no one really wanted to free us. It was all a hoax. It was put out in the atmosphere that the Confederate States would free the people up north. Now, you know that they had no right to free any people up north at all because there weren't any slaves there. But Abraham Lincoln really didn't have in his heart to free us. But it was a political and economic situation. Most of the white male who owned slaves and had land, they were against it because it would diminish their income. In order to appease these white male who had slaves, Abraham Lincoln suggested that he give them a form of an allowance, a form of allowance to compensate for freeing the slaves so that they would not lose money in economic strategy, that this is what would be done. From what I gather, they talked about the states that they would give these slaves initially, and they had talked about the southern states and some of the islands, and Jacksonville, to be specific, was one of them. When the word had gotten out to some of the slaves who were finding out about the land, some of them inherited the land up in the area of Florida, and when they came back to take the land away, they were ready to fight for the land, but the Europeans, they took the land back from those few slaves that ascertained that particular 40 acres and a mule. In the meantime, there was a big struggle, a war between the Europeans and their cabinet men to make the decision to free the slaves. Now, as you know, Juneteenth came about because the slaves were freed somewhere about in May, but most of the Africans did not hear about it until June. During all of this particular time, there were strategies going forth about what would happen if they freed the slaves and how our economy would go down. During this time, 60% of our economy was from cotton, meaning that the cotton was king. The word was said, why not take the land and divide the land amongst the slaves, give them their own share of the land, let them produce the cotton, and let us buy it from the slaves. They refused to buy anything from the slaves. They refused to negotiate with the slaves. As a matter of fact, they put more laws on the slaves. They put more laws, they put more black laws on the slaves, that they could not be out without a pass. They could not be found out without a job or a mission, or else they could be fined. And they could be fined for even playing games with white people, laughing with them. They could be fined and sentenced to jail. There were so many black laws out during this time. And even when they were supposed to be getting freedom, it seemed like they were put into more bondage. So what happened was, in order to keep the slaves down, they continued to create more black laws, and there was a law written that during this time, slave master could beat his slave to death. And if the slave revolted, he could kill the slave because of the fact, in the heat of the moment, he could justify this slave revolting and not be counted as a felony and get off, because it would become legal to beat a slave into submission and even to death in the heat of a passion. Now, these laws were so rigorous that they had put on these slaves, so rigorous and cruel that nobody spoke out against them. But yet these slaves were getting their freedom. When you let slaves go free, when Lincoln finally did free them, he gave them no money. There were few white people at that time that had black mistresses, and they didn't want to see the black people let loose without anything to assist and aid them. They thought it was cruel to let them go, and they have no money, no land, no property, no jobs. So they fought and argued about releasing these slaves with their 40 acres and a mule. But because Lincoln knew that that would be against the slave owner's will, because it was like taking money out, throwing it away, he refused to do that. He just released the slaves on their own cognizance and gave them nothing. And they have been struggling, and we have been struggling ever since. We had nothing to compete with. And even when they offered to allow them to stay on the land, to work the land, and said that you could make a profit after you turn in all of your money to us. From what I understand, according to Dr. Anderson, the slaves never grossed a penny off of working these crops. It was always games and constantly making the African think that he was getting something when he really wasn't. During this time, they were penniless, broke, and without employment. And really, to be honest, we were damaged, psychologically damaged. And let the truth be told, we were so damaged, like the Native Americans, that we needed the United States to take care of us. We needed them to take care of us, to pardon us of taxes, to give us a sovereignty land so that we can establish our own nation. We were the first nation to come over here uncolonized, way before the pale face or the red man. We were the first to come to this land and to be desecrated from our own land and segregated from our own land and not have access to our own land was preposterous. And therefore, continents that had war inflicted on them, such as Japan and China, were all given reparation. Tomorrow I'll go over the amounts that they received. The document I have in hand, ladies and gentlemen, is accessible. You can access it. Not only were the Chinese and Japanese given reparation, but the Jews and the Germans were given reparation. It's all documented. It is no secret. They were given reparations for the damages that were done to their country during World War II. What about the damages that were done to the African American when they were forced to come over here against their will, when they went through the door of no return, and they walked through that door, their lives were never the same. They suffered post-traumatic stress syndrome. They not only suffered sickness, and some died during the voyage of coming here in the Middle Passage, but when they went through that door of no return, the inflictions that were imposed upon them were unheard of. Women were raped and repeatedly raped and taken advantage of by the captains and by the slave master. The crime that was put on them was unacceptable. There were many that tried to escape, that were mutilated, castrated, and some killed. There were some that committed suicide, jumped into the oceans to their death. Rather than be a slave, they decided to die. There were some that made it across the water. And that group that made it across the water, I would say, was the strongest. They cropped the fields. They tend to the babies. And they took care of the house for master. Master now owes us something. And if master's children say, I wasn't involved in the slavery, I didn't directly put you in slavery. No, you didn't. But you benefited from the offsets of the cotton. Because of the cotton that we picked, you benefited and had a better life, a quality of life. You benefited. So you're just as much as at blame. It's important to give us an audience now and to sit with us and negotiate. Our young people are rising in anger because they know something is wrong. Our young people are rising in anger because they know something went wrong in the past and that our ancestors and us didn't fight for what was rightfully ours. Oh, yes, reparation was rightfully ours. We have been damaged and are still damaged. The psychological trauma that we've gone through, the rehabilitation programs are not fit to rescue us. We're going to have to develop talking cures like the one we just came out of to heal ourselves from the damage that has been done. It is so important that every African-American be given the option of going back to school to educate themselves. Every African-American be forgiven of all forms of taxes because we've paid our dues. We've paid our dues when we build railroads and highways and cities. We've paid our dues, and we're still paying our dues for all of the refugees that are getting subsistence and set aside. Now, the 14th Amendment is ours, ladies and gentlemen, whether you know it or not. It was created for the black people. The 14th Amendment, when they wrote that amendment, it was to accommodate us. We are still yet to be accommodated. We're going to have to examine the 14th Amendment to go back and see what needs to be rearranged in that law. In the meantime, the rights that we have been given, where some of us have been given the rights to advance ourselves, like Oprah Winfrey and some of those who have gained quite a bit of money, those are just a few people. Those are just a few people, and believe it or not, they're not black anymore. They have transparent, okay? I'm talking about the common, everyday black people who have not been given their reparation. And you don't have to worry about giving us reparation. Our ancestors are going to make you give us reparation. We're going to tell our ancestors we still are not compensated and that what is rightfully ours is still being withheld. We're going to tell God about it. And we're going to tell God we want something done about it, and we're going to command God, because God said, command you me. We're going to command him to rise up and to do something about it. because in this generation, when we have a black president, what good is it to have a black president when he sits there on the throne telling us that he cannot do anything for blacks because he's for everyone? Then what are we if we're not everyone? He must do something during this term about reparation. He has to do something about reparation during this term. If he doesn't, he's no more a black man than he ever was. If he doesn't, he's no more a black man. Because how could you see your race of people desecrated, still sick in their mind, still underclass, and if we don't soon get some funding, we're going to be permanent underclass? How could he sit there in that White House and say he's done everything he can if he doesn't put reparation on the books? It has to go on the book. It has to be discussed, and it has to be in a reader, and a forum must be brought forward to discuss the benefits and the consequences if we don't get reparation. And if we don't get it within this decade in time, our young people are going to rise up. And when they rise up, it will be no stopping them. They know they deserve something. They don't want to hear about slavery. They know what was done to us. And what was done to us was worse than what you do to an animal. When you look back over history, there's no way you can look back over history and turn your cheek and say that these were human beings. We were treated like less than animals. And doesn't it hurt your heart to see intelligent people who all they needed were books to learn, and if you'd given them the chance, they could have rose up and could have been great people in their time? Doesn't it hurt your heart to know that some of them who could read, you chopped their hands and their feet off for learning to read? How can you do a thing like this and turn your head and say, I wasn't the cause? You are the cause if you benefited from it. If you're driving fine cars and you have money in the bank and your taxes are paid, you benefited from all of the old money. Now you got people that can barely stay abreast. They're losing their homes, and they're possibly going to lose their mind if they don't get some help soon. It's time that you stop and call a forum and address the issue. Put us on our own reservation. Give us our own land. Give us our own sovereignty and nation. If you don't have time for us, put us aside and give us some set-asides, and we'll make it on our own. But don't turn the other cheek and act like it never existed. When I lived in Germany and I had Germans come to me and tell me that they received reparations, it brought tears to my eyes, and it broke my heart to know that the first group of people that were killed over in the Holocaust were black people, black Jews, who never received reparation, who went down in their grave and their offspring never got a dime for it. They were the first Holocaust people to die, the black Jews. Check it out. It's in the history book. And the Jewish people will tell you about it. And you're still debating over whether or not we deserve reparation. We don't have to wait for you to tell us if we deserve it. We know we deserve it. Now we've got to have the conscience and the mindset to go to our ancestors and talk to them about what injustice is being done to us. You don't have to worry about it, but you better pray mercy, because the ancestors are not dealing with a flesh and blood. They're dealing with the spirit and the minds of man today. And you're working with a spirit that you can't even see. So you don't have to worry about it, but you better hurry and put it on a platform. And Mr. President, for your sake, you better hurry and bring it up on the agenda, because it's in the hearts of men now. The spirits are going to be on the move now. The gods are loose now. So you don't have to worry about giving us anything. People are going to take what belongs to them. You can't go to Africa and rape Africa and send your missionaries there over in Congo, one of the greatest countries in the world with all of the natural resources, and take the missionaries over there to sensitize the people so you can lull them to sleep while you rob and plunder and take everything they have left. Wasn't it enough to take us as slaves and utilize us? Now you go into their country and you're mutilating them and you're causing them to take on false gods and the rest of their Africans are separating themselves from them because now they're lulled to sleep as if they've been ejected and become habituated with your gods and Jesus, who they don't even know anything about. But yet you're over there in their country, plundering their land and stealing all their natural resources. How long, I say, can we look at a small percentage of people who are overtaking the world? You must have a conscience. You must be able to sleep at night and know that you've done righteous things. Here in America, we are your responsibility. And we have been good servants to you. We have entertained you. We have fed you. We have built for you off our backs. We have made it possible to build a beautiful country. What in the world can you take from us? There's nothing left to take from us. Now it's time to give something back, or else the ancestors will be at your doorpost knocking, asking, when will you give something back to the African Americans who have served you so well? Don't debate us about why we shouldn't have our reparation. Those poor red men who are sitting down in the reservation, they have accumulated wealth beyond wealth. But yet the nation was built by them, you say. It's a lie. The nation was built by the Africans. And we are the natural Asiatic black men. So before they even came here, there wasn't a time when they didn't know when we was here. We were always here. So what is here belongs to us. This is our land. This is our land, and we deserve to have a piece of it. And we deserve to have our taxes forgiven. And don't pay out a dime to any man. Any woman or man is not going to get a dollar or a dime. We're going to be forgiven and given reciprocity so that we can start fresh. So what if you foreclose on all of the homes and most of the blacks' homes and foreclosure? Give them some land and let them start over again. And give them some filthy lucre and let them be on their way. Your conscience will be cleared and it will go well with you. But I'm telling you, the young people, we can't stop. Not even their mothers and fathers can stop them. And when the ancestors give the word for them to go forward, I don't care about you rolling out the tanks on them or the ammunition. You're going to be fighting against a God you can't even see. And the God that you can't even see is going to hunt you down to the thousandth generation because it's time. You have a black president. Let him issue what is rightfully belongs to the black. Let him do the right thing. Put it on his mind and his conscience so that you can sleep well and you can have longevity in your household. And you may be able to grow and be a gray-headed old man. I'm telling you what I know in my spirit. I sense that every African-American is going to wake up at the sound of my voice. Even if they were against reparation before, they're going to wake up. By the time we finish this segment, they're going to wake up and realize that we will do something. And somebody stole something from us. And as I told you, I don't like people stealing from me and claiming what belongs to us and putting their name on it. I don't like it. So many kind Africans have allowed you to steal and plunder their cities and take away from them. And now the Africanos are saying they're Africanos, and that is their land. That is their land. You cannot take what doesn't belong to you. And if you do not have a culture there, you cannot build a heritage off the Africans. You must allow us to share what we have with you. And if we choose not to share with you, you probably know why, because you haven't been fair with us. But choose ye this day what you are going to do and who you're going to serve, because God is not playing in these days and time. He is not wasting very much time to come back at you like whatsoever goes around will come around. Before you even do something in the morning, it's back to meet you in the afternoon. That's how fast God is moving. And this black people here that people have done so much to, don't think that God won't come out of the sky to vindicate them. Don't think that the God that's in them will rise up to vindicate them. We're not going to have to get our hands dirty, I'm telling you. We will be vindicated. if you quietly sit down, set up a forum to talk about, at least discuss what the options are. Begin the process. Begin the process and let the process begin now. I want to say thank you for coming out and being a part of this show, because OMI is going to be in rare form. Yes, I am. I know that what's good for one people is good for all people. And African-Americans, having reparation is good for you just as well as it's good for white people. And I'm telling you, white people, it's very important that you help blacks to get reparation. It's very important if you want the record to be set straight. Don't sit amongst us and smile as if we're equal. We're not equal. We've been robbed. We have been stolen from. And we are behind times. And if we don't get what's rightfully ours, we will be a permanent underclass. And that I refuse to be. I'm rich in royalty, and I will have all the riches that my father has left here on this continent for us. You must remember, we're old ancient people. We know that we were financially set in the ancient days, and we were never lacking anything. And we realize that it takes money to make money. And you are going to give up what belongs to us. I won't have to ask you for it. The ancestors will come knocking at your door. Every one of you who are against reparation, the ancestors will come to speak to you about the situation. And ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what is on your heart today, but I pray that you take some time to find out what it is that God wants you to do to help the African Americans. You'll be blessed for it. I know you will. And get ready to get blessed, because if you are out there trying to make a difference, you will be blessed for it. I decree you will be blessed for it. Now lock that number in, 646-478-0270. I'll be with you tomorrow and Saturday. This is one of the special times that I want to do Saturday. So I'll see you tomorrow and at the same time, 6 o'clock. And on that note, I say, oh,